the annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
It is episode 18 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at The Butcher Shop and, of course, Lang's Auto. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and sitting next to me is...
the most electrifying man in podcast history.
Man, if you're going to get all ring announcer on me, tell me... I've been sitting here for 20 minutes listening to these two grab it on, and I've been getting sound levels and say, oh, I'm going to talk like this, Scotty. And then you
thought
do
I'd
that to
me. They're the rocky ring announcer. Welcome.
Apologies to everyone who's just had their subwoofers blown up. By Stevie P.
We'll have to text some apology there, Dan.
Oh,
we're 18, man. We're legal.
Yes. There you go. Well, in Australia we are, not in America, but we're getting close.
Are you talking about drinking or?
Yeah, drinking I'm talking about. Of course. That's what I'm talking about. What are you talking about?
Nothing.
Yeah, indeed. Huge show on the way. Of course, Benny, you'll have the wrap from 203.
I've got a wrap and I've got a bee in my bonnet about something regarding you.
Me?
Last show, you stole my sign-off line, man.
What?
See you, folks. That's mine.
Is it?
I copyrighted that, man.
Jesus, now you're getting
I thought about that for hours, and you nicked it off me, man.
It's a real start, isn't it?
I didn't even hear it last week when I was sitting here, but and then I listened to the episode.
Yeah.
You got to get your own sign-off line, man.
Yeah, sure.
You'll be hearing from
my
people. My people talk to your
Stevie,
people.
There's a lot of hostility in the room tonight. You come in, Benny's pretty fired up.
I got a bit of my confidence back, man.
I'm glad we've turned the microphones around a little bit in here. just to make sure we've got some... spread.
It's all this training that he's doing at the moment, getting ready for the next fight.
Look at you. I've got some testosterone and nutrients in my system. It's been a while.
Last time you were in, Stevie, you were getting ready to head off to Sydney for a big fight night. You were emceeing the event. How did that go?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much, Scotty. Yeah. It was Urban Fight Night 8. It was at the Whitlam Leisure Centre in Liverpool in Sydney. So absolutely huge event run by Australian Top Team and the Mokhtarian Brothers down there in Western Sydney. Upwards of nearly 2,000 people turned up to the event.
Awesome.
So it was, Benny. It was just electric. It was a great atmosphere. It was done in a big hall, so it just had that resonation, you know, going through the building.
Yeah, that leisure
centre
is massive.
It is, yeah. You know, it's really big.
Good and, acoustics for the mic.
Absolutely. I mean, the sound was great. Like, the stands were great. I mean, and everyone, you could tell it was a real martial arts crowd, Benny. You know when you get in front of an audience, which is they love their martial arts.
They hit the ground, everyone cheers.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just a pleasure to be a part of it. And what they're running down there is a really good promotion. That was the 8th. They're doing UFN number 9 coming up in December, which I'll be doing up there in Sydney. Looking forward to that. And that's going to be themed as a country versus country based on your heritage. So, you know, if you've got Tongan background or Macedonian background, they're getting boys together to sort of have a theme like that, which I think is really unique and fascinating. So it was a great show. Thanks, Scotty.
And motherland.
And really enjoyed it. So looking forward to, you know, continuing to do some bigger and better shows. I'm also doing, Benny, a Pride show coming up in October on the 8th. So it's Pride Kickboxing here, PRYDE. And that's coming up in Sydney as well.
Oh, way to dodge a lawsuit.
Mate. Yeah.
UFC owns it now, so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, mate. You're starting to see you open up a few doors, mate.
It's starting to go really well, Benny, So, look, it's all coming together, which is great, and hopefully heading towards the very top of it all. So that was great and excellent to have the opportunity with those guys up there. Lovely bunch of blokes, and hope the promotion continues to go as well as it has been.
And for those playing along at home, Stevie is in standard ring announcer dress. He's in the suit. Had trouble getting the leather shoes off when he came in the door. Had a visit from Alan the Cat.
I don't have shoes on.
I'm wearing dirty old Newcastle Knights UGG boots.
I don't even have shoes in my car.
Boys, let me just say one thing. I had every intention of heading home and putting the track pants on, but unfortunately I was beaten to the punch and here I am.
Mate, what do you think? Albany. We've moved into the bigger bedroom. We've got a bit of room now.
It's fantastic. It's looking great, mate. It's a fantastic studio we've got here, and plenty of room for all the laughs. The walls are looking great.
We've got the Scotty Masters banner I can hang over the cage.
When your missus owns a sign shop, it's fantastic. So
yeah, you win a fight, then you get a flag. You put that up.
It's Scotty Masters. What country's that?
Oh, dearie me. Nice. We're going to catch up with Larry. Given that the Raiders are back at GIO Stadium, we've sent him out over to Bruce for the traffic again.
So I was watching some of the footage before the Raiders boys walked out today. How good was the atmosphere? Doing the clap when
the
they
Viking
walk
clap,
out.
And then amazing. Mickey Ennis at the end of the game walking over and then going, "Oh, boy, I wasn't doing a top set anyone."
Yeah.
Piss off, Ennis.
Ricky gave him the best.
We've got plenty to talk about that. That's right.
We'll get to that. I thought we'd kick off the show, though, and I know Benny's going to be talking about him soon. CM Punk made his long-awaited debut inside the Octagon.
He sure did.
Well, we actually got two of his walkout songs in tonight's episode. One is a request coming up later, but the one that he's known for, it's the one he walked out to on the weekend. Cult of Personality, Living Colour. It's going to kick off episode 18 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Stevie. Get stuck into it.
Thank you. Tree can do for you.
That was Live in Colour with their my favourite song of theirs out of the two that I now know. Cult of Personality. And this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut with Scotty, Ben and Stevie P.
Oh, you've done it again. The Give Yourself an Uppercut what, Benny?
Podcast.
There you go.
There we go.
He, man, he had the best back announced last week. Benny nailed it.
One out of 18 ain't bad. Yes, it is.
That's going to be CM Punk's fight stats after a few months.
Yeah. Well, I'm the CM Punk.
One round, Scotty?
I'm the CM Punk of podcasting, man. Shit. Yeah. Anyway, here's the Larry, Eye in the Sky.
Hey there, traffic and sports enthusiasts. It's Larry here with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Canberra traffic is a little busy at the moment, with all the fans from Western Sydney coming in for the upcoming match, with the Panthers going up against the mighty Raiders. Being in Canberra traffic at the moment is like flashing back to the 80s with nothing but Taranas, Kingswoods and Old Falcons. Fishwick is extremely busy with Bogans and Westies sporting mullets and flannos as far as the eye can see, trying to buy fireworks and the other things that Fishwick offers. And finally, if the unthinkable does happen and the Raiders lose, give Ricky Stewart a fucking wide berth. He's going to go off. This is Larry for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Go the Raiders!
One of these guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title.
The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie.
Squad Goals.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It's time to talk one of our wonderful sponsors here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. We love the lads down at Lang's Auto, Yass Road in Queanbeyan, Benny.
Mate, we certainly do. In fact, last time I spoke about him, I was talking about how I've got a... let the soccer mum van go back back to its home.
Which they sorted for you they not long ago. They fixed the suspension.
They fixed everything. Yeah. And now I don't want to give it back because it's running so well. It's running like a club sport, I'd say, Scotty.
Yeah, I reckon that's a bet I'd like to take. Anyway, I'll even give you a quarter mile head start.
What condition?
But no matter what you drive, folks, if you need your car sorted out, maybe you just need a rego check. The guys down at Langs can sort you out. The auto electrician's there as well. Everything else can get done. Blue slips, green slips, pink slips, all the slips that you need for New South Wales, they'll sort you out. Mm-hmm. So go down and see Johnny Dino and the team at 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan and tell them Scotty and Ben sent you. And they'll probably just look at you funny and go, what's wrong with your car, dickhead?
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, so that's not Alan. Steve, that's Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Here we are, Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Scotty, Benny and I, Stevie P. And now, Scotty, over to you with our top five for this week.
Top five, buddy, yeah.
Looks a beauty.
I found this story online and I instantly thought of Benny because I know he's had a few dramas in the love life department. I reckon this could sort you out, Benny.
Not
this
at all.
This seems to be a bit of a cyclical... thing for me.
Good words.
Fall in love.
In love, out of love. In love, out of love. In love, out of love.
Get dumped. Get upset. Get in shape. Have a mad fight. Repeat.
Check this out, though. Two organisations for singles are co-sponsoring a three-night carnival ship cruise that leaves New York during their fall season. So as we're coming into summer, it's called the Cougar Cruise. And yep, you guessed it. It's aimed at the older woman who like to pursue the younger men.
Bloody hell. Is there fall our autumn? What is it? What month?
No, yeah, fall's autumn. Yeah, correct. So they're coming out.
Why do they call it autumn?
I don't know. Because they're American.
Why do we call it autumn?
I don't know. Who knows, Benny? There's something you can look up for next week.
I'm going to Google that shit.
That's on my
flip phone. I'll let you know when the data comes in.
When I was a kid, we didn't call them cougars. We just called them drunk mums. You know, they'd get a little bit grabby when they were drunk.
I think the term MILF. I think
it developed into MILF, didn't it? And then cougar.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not, but the first time I heard MILF was American Pie.
Pie, the movie. Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Is that where the acronym came from?
Yeah, I think it was an Urban Dictionary prior to that, but it wasn't very well known. That sent it through the
good
roof.
Good on you, Jason Biggs.
He's a nice dude. Thanks, I met Jason.
Apparently, lovely in dude. Real life, he's like the hardcore prankster, and Stifler is like the straight
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, nice. This, I reckon, this is right up your alley, though, Benny. Going on this Cougar Cruise.
Was that a euphemism?
We'll right pitch in and buy you a ticket. If you're listening,
talk about my alley like that.
If you're listening and saying to yourself, oh, Jesus, Scotty, I booked a cruise for Christmas. How will I know if it's a Cougar cruise? Well, my friend, I am glad you asked.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
Yes, it's the top five signs you're on a Cougar cruise. So if any of this happens, you know you're in. Especially if you're in your 20s.
You know you're in love.
You know what? You're in something. Yes, indeed. Coming in at number five.
You're up an alley.
Coming in at number five, university age dudes don't normally use that much tongue when kissing their mum goodnight. There's a ding.
There was no ding, man.
There was a ding. There was a ding. Number four, the Thong. Women can't clap during the dinner performance because they're too busy cutting their date's steaks up.
My penis just left. It's left the building, folks.
Number three in the top five signs you're on a Cougar cruise. You compliment a sunbather on her leather purse only to discover it's actually her breast. You saw that coming from a mile away, didn't you? That could have been worse. I said breast. I said breast. It could have been
just compliments.
Is that crocodile skin? Yeah.
Just think of the old bird from There's Something About Mary, Magda.
Straight Gucci.
Number two, there's enough gold llama and animal fabric print on deck to reupholster Donatella Versace.
A little leather, man.
It is, man. At number one, there's the drum roll. In the top five signs, you are on the Cougar Cruise. Today's luncheon special features our popular lovers combo consisting of a Caesar salad and cosmopolitan for the lady, and for the gentleman, a Vegemite sandwich and a chocky milk.
Was that Donatella Versace? I would have seen photo, like, really old lady.
Dude, she looks like a lounge suite with legs.
Yeah. Real dark, saggy leather skin, but... Yeah. Yeah, perky as cans.
And lips the size of a BMX bike.
Like plastic lips. And
Just wrong. Lips. Wrong.
I can't forget that.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Yeah, and what a big weekend of Biff it was. There was Biff in the boxing ring, there was Biff in the octagon, and Benny's got it all for us right now. Take it away, my friend.
Let's kick off with the UFC 203 review and the third last fight on the card, CM Punk versus Mickey Gore. The long-awaited debut and possible swan song. Swan song. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yep.
I thought I said swan.
No, you did. You got it wrong, but we'll just
edit it out.
We're just here to bolster you up, man.
Thanks, man. I'm starting again. The long-awaited debut and possible swan song of CM Punk, a.k.a. Phil Brooks, finally happened in the very same building where Punk decided he was going to quit the WWE.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they played that on the Embedded
Show. The Quicken Loans Arena.
Yeah, right. There you go.
So... obviously a lot of speculation about whether Punk would use his final WWE entrance music, Living Colour, which we just played.
Yep.
And much to everyone's delight, he did, and received a surprisingly positive response.
Yeah, he did. The crowd was great.
It was pretty cool, man. They were all into it. And as shown on the UFC Embedded Show, Punk's opponent, Mickey Gall, he received a call from UFC president a couple of days before the fight suggesting he should come out to a harder song than Mickey by Tony Basil.
Mickey, you're from, so fine. Yeah. You're so fun, you
from
blow 1981 my mind.
Hey, classic. Yeah, that's
hey, Mickey.
It.
Come on, boy, sing it with me.
That was like my Viking clap, man. Just empty. But Dana must have changed his mind because he did come out to it and it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And going back a few years, I used to work with this girl who actually lost her virginity to that song and it scarred her for life. So every time she... True story. So good on you, Simone.
That's what happens. That's what happens when the radio's on 2CA.
Yeah. Golden oldies.
Yeah, indeed. So, 1981, I think that song came out.
Yeah, it was. She popped up on Facebook today for something, 1971, dancing at some school. She did a presentation at school.
Tony Basil.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Or Simone.
No, I was wondering
that.
So at the bell, Punk rushed Gall and was taken down immediately and beaten like a redheaded stepchild and forced to tap to a rear naked choke 2 minutes 14 seconds into round one. That's what happens when a 24-year-old jiu-jitsu brown belt with 5 fights experience, including his amateur career, takes on a 37-year-old jiu-jitsu white belt on debut.
Yep.
He got smashed and probably shouldn't have been there, but he made the walk and got in there where not a lot of people would. So,
that's
especially when you're already a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I want to bring that up too. Yeah,
so, fair play to him.
All the keyboard warriors this week. And you know what else really gave me the shit? So, did you see the photos of Triple H with Punk getting choked out behind him on the TV screen? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
So there was a photo of Triple H looking smug as like the Cheshire Cat, big shit-eating grin on his face. Punk, because they're suing him. Vince McMahon's suing the pants off CM Punk.
Well, I was going to touch on similar things to that later.
Well, I'll shut up then.
We can talk about it now.
Yeah.
But he must have bought his rights to his name or something, because he had CM Punk on his trunks.
Yeah.
I thought he would have had Phil Brooks.
Yeah.
So WWE just must have just gone, oh, we want to delete you from our
history.
They're
suing
him
at the moment, so Vince McMahon's suing him.
Well, Trips is married to Stephanie, Vince's daughter, and Trips is, I call him Trips because we go way back. But
you and John Paul?
Yeah, but me and Paul, is it Paul Levesque?
Paul Levesque.
Yeah.
John Paul Levesque.
He's the second highest guy in the company now.
Yeah, that's right, Well, that happens when you marry Vince's daughter.
Before that he was with China, so I'll take Stephanie over China.
Oh, big time.
But is he higher than Shane O'Mac?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have no idea.
You had the poker face from hell there.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
mate. Okay, good.
So, much has been said about his $500,000 purse, but to break even with him, UFC had to sell about 13,000 extra pay-per-views above average. Mm. They sold about 350,000 extra pay-per-views above average.
Wow.
And Punk well and truly paid for himself, making the UFC, after paying Punk, an estimated $3.5 million. So from a business standpoint, it worked well. But Dana said that Punk might be one and done in the UFC, and Punk addressed that and some other topics with a great attitude at the post-fight press conference. Have a listen.
Hello. Always a tough crowd.
Well, Punk, this, of course, was not the result that you had hoped for, but you talked all along about this was about the journey as well. So now that it's over, at least for the moment, didn't come up your way. How are you feeling about the whole process right now?
The process was magical. You know, I'm just disappointed. I'm beating myself up way more than I got beat up. You know, I'm supremely disappointed, but you know, the answer to your question is, aside from the outcome, wouldn't change anything for the world. It was just being out there under the lights, most fun I've ever had. And to say it again, second best day of my life. First one was my wife when I married her. Thank you.
Would you have done anything differently in your strategic approach?
Yeah, I would have thrown the right hand faster. I think I was a little late throwing the two, and then I got taken down.
You did come out incredibly aggressive. How did that match up with the plan? Was the intention to rush forward that way?
Yeah, you know, I'm watching what little tape there is on Mickey. I think nobody pressured him, you know what I mean? And once he got in a rhythm, especially in that first pro fight he had, because the one with Mike Jackson was so short, but the first pro fight, it's the guy was just moving backwards. The plan was to just move forward. You know, I was either going to come back with my shield or on it, and I think that's the game I played.
And just last for me, you said at the end that this is not the end of the journey, that you want to keep going. Do you intend to do that at the UFC level, or would you be willing to say, you know, maybe do it at a lower level so that you can continue to develop your skills, not at the highest level of the sport?
My initial venture into this was going to be at the lowest level. You know, this opportunity just got presented to myself. I would have been a fool to say no. I don't know what happens from here on out. You know, and what if I get cut? I don't know. You know what I mean? I think that's a possibility. Do I want that to happen? No. But who's to say where I go from here? I don't know. I definitely want to keep going. You know, I'm the kind of guy, you know, I just fell off a bike, you know. I'm not just going to shelve it and leave it in the middle of the street. I got to get back on the ride.
You certainly seem to have supreme confidence all the way along, but there was this kind of, I don't know, a fear of the unknown, I guess, with CM Punk. What if he was a killer behind closed doors and you just didn't know about it? I mean, was there ever any moment along this time where you had a little bit of doubt to think, you know, maybe this guy is going to turn out to be way more than I thought?
Yeah, there's a possibility it could have been all that training. He's a phenomenal actor. It could have been acting. you know, I knew my kill stuff was going to be more than his kill stuff. I know two-year guys. I know, you know, I beat up 10-year guys. Been doing it since I was, you know, teenager. So I knew, you know, I knew what to expect. I knew I'd be able to dominate in any. I wanted to work my stand-up. I really focused on my stand-up. I wanted to show that off. I was working with Sean Diggs, but he came in hot, so I just changed levels and put him on his back.
You talked about wanting to fight the killers of the UFC. You called out Sage Northcutt.
Yeah.
People seem to be divided on whether he is one of those killers. Do you think he is one of those killers of the UFC, and why was that the target?
What's his UFC record? Do you know? Anyone know?
3-1.
It's a good record. Yeah, he's a tough kid. I think that fight makes sense in a lot of ways, especially right now. Both Dana White looking for a fight, guys, young guns. Both of us have questions about us, so let's bang out.
Well, yeah, that was Punk and his opponent, Mickey Gall, mate. What are your thoughts on that, Stevie?
Yeah, look, I thought, as we just mentioned a minute ago, the fact that he got in the ring, he has to have a lot of credit. And I think it was, in my mind, though, it just felt like a real marketing ploy, though. It felt a lot like Brock Lesnar when he came back for UFC 200. There was so much cross-promotion in there, and it felt like it was just a big money spinner for the UFC.
Stevie? It was.
Yeah, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is I didn't take it too seriously, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. I thought, this is kind of cool as a bit of a stunt. Let's see how CM Punk goes. But I never really thought that he was going to win. Yeah. I was really surprised when he came out as soon as the fight started. And like you say, Ben, he tried to rush him. I mean, he ran straight at him. Yeah. He was down within the first 7 seconds, and he was on his back getting pummeled for the next 1:50, and that was the end of the fight. So I can understand when he says, you know, in the minimal footage that I've seen of him, I felt that putting some pressure on him was the right way to go about it. But surely you need to feel him out. And
there's pressure and there's running at him like an idiot.
You know what I mean? There's a real, I mean, if you're going to run at someone, do what Verdum, you know, did. And you'll talk about that, you know, in a minute, obviously. But that's how you start a fight. Okay, buddy,
don't lead
bang,
with your face.
There you go. He's a flying front
I've
kick.
I've always
to
found leading
fight.
With one's face is, you know, that's a viable, way to
been there, done that.
handle the bar fight.
Safety last, bitch.
As for whether he's got a future, I mean, if the UFC can see the money aspect of it, then yeah. But otherwise, if you're a fighter, I mean, your credibility-wise, like, yeah, I'll put my hand up to fight CM Punk now. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
it'll have
well,
to be the
Dana,
UFC pushing it. So
Dana did say this week that that's probably it for him in the UFC. Unless, and I mean, how old do you say he's been? He's
37. 38
so,
month.
Yep.
So he's getting towards the end of what would be most guys' careers.
Coming off two surgeries. But I think it's going to be hard to find it. Like Mickey Gall, you can see he's a legit kid. Like, he's definitely got the goods. He's got a good attitude. He's doing the call out. So he's got a business mind.
What's with all the swearing afterwards, though? And that's sort of carry on, though, Benny. He's only, what, a 3-fight UFC veteran now, inverted commas, Mickey Gore, and he's standing there mouthing off at the end and swearing, F this. Yeah, he was dropped the F-bomb about 4 times afterwards. It's like, come
just
on,
just trying to create a bit of cred.
Yeah, in the cage. When he's talking to Rogan afterwards.
Oh, was he? I was too busy.
Everyone swears when they talk to Rogan, though. Punk.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, it was obviously pumped up, and he would have copped a lot of flack if he lost. So the pressure was definitely on. Definitely on both of them. So he's only a 24-year-old kid.
Yep.
Just made a
future.
Name for himself.
Gall's
he
got
certainly
a big future.
Does, man.
There's
he's
no
got
doubt
a
about that.
Cruel guys around him.
And he's excellent on the ground. You can see that his jiu-jitsu was fantastic.
Mate, and I was sitting with some jits guys watching it, and they said, mate, he's a legit brown belt.
Yeah,
so
right.
A 24-year-old kid with not bad hands either.
Yep.
Definitely got a big future. One thing I found was interesting, at this post-fight press conference, they only interviewed one person at a time instead of getting all the fighters on
That's
stage.
That's right, yeah.
And I think that must have been from the last one or one a couple of fights ago with Bisping and Rockhold.
Yeah, which went
when
a bit
they
crazy.
They nearly had fisticuffs straight after the press conference.
Well, there was fisticuffs after the Verdum fight on there. So.
Shut up, Scotty.
Okay.
So now the Brown and Verdum.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
So, obviously, as we just touched on then, the best part of this fight was the first 5 seconds and directly after. So, round one kicked off literally with Jiu-Jitsu World Champ, the best heavyweight Jiu-Jitsu player in MMA, who famously subbed arguably the heavyweight greatest of all time, Fedor Emelianenko, the guy I turned for, who I touched on a few weeks ago, opened up the round and landing a jumping sidekick to the 6'7" Travis Brown, Mr. Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
I think his biggest thing is he doesn't care if someone ends up on top of him. No one is going to go to the ground with him. He's the best guy, best heavyweight on the ground. He's a legit world champ.
Yep.
So, somewhere in the first, Travis Brown compound broke his finger. You could actually see the bone poking through. There's photos of it on the interwebs.
Tasty.
And I'm not sure what happened there, but there was a bit of a controversy with that because the referee stopped the fight, spoke to the doctor, and the doctor said continue. That's a TKO.
Yeah.
You only stop the fight if it cuts, if they bleed into your eye and you can't intelligently defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've actually jumped ahead for a few paragraphs, but just wanted to get that out of the way first. So
nice.
Thankfully,
just quickly on that, Benny, though, can I just say, it looked like Travis Brown was the guy who actually called a halt to that. It seemed to me that he actually sort of stopped and went to the ref and goes, hang on a minute, can I check my finger? You can't do that.
No, it's a TKO.
But Doom went in, you notice, and hit him with a straight left.
Yeah.
It's a TKO. And then the ref's gone, no, stop. That's crap.
That's a TKO.
It should have just been stopped and done, or let Verdum at him as he was.
And spoiler alert, if Verdum didn't actually go on to win, there would be a massive complaint.
Absolutely.
The ref certainly, he dropped the ball there.
Yep.
I think, after that, Travis Brown was actually looking for a bit of payback, and there's a horrific picture of an eye poke.
Yeah.
How good is that? I stuck that on our Facebook page during the week. That was knuckle deep.
That was shocking. Yeah. And even at the post-fight press conference, Verdum looked all right, but eye pokes have been a problem forever in the UFC.
You were commenting about this, Benny, during the week.
Mate, with every card having at least two stoppages due to
what happened to you, didn't it? When you fought Johnny
Lester.
No,
that wasn't an eye poke. That was just because the gloves were so small and his knuckle pushed my eye in.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so
similar kind of thing, eye injuries from the smaller gloves.
Yeah, sort of. But mine wasn't illegal per se. So I remember one card back in 2013 was pretty much ruined by eye pokes. It was just no contest and people couldn't continue.
Although, as a fighter, though, when you're in there and the blood's boiling, you'd have to be pretty switched on to go, I'm going to stick my finger in his eye now. Like, it wouldn't be a 100% move that you know you're going to get. Like, surely it is an accident, you would think, most times.
Oh, a lot of the time, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you've got your hands out, you're just trying to keep your distance. It's a natural thing to have your hands and your fingers out, but there are some guys
that do it.
I need a bit of a breather.
Hop away. He just went with the wrong one.
The brown eye.
That's it.
But the funny thing is with the UFC, there's other companies such as Pride and Bellator who also use 4-ounce gloves but had a much lower eye poke ratio than the UFC due to a more curved glove design. And I think someone is going to have to go blind before the UFC does anything about it. And if they haven't already after thousands of eye pokes over the last...
Yeah.
You know, 20.
How much would that prohibit the grappling ability on the ground?
Mate, look at Pride. Look at Pride.
Yep.
It may be slightly, but.
You don't think so?
Maybe slightly.
Okay.
But I reckon it's an improved the sport. Look at Pride and look at Bellator.
Mm.
Heaps of grapplers have just as much success there as they do
in the UFC.
So I think it's a change that has to happen.
Yep.
But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to wait until someone has to pay the old. Eye sacrifice. It's all fun and games if someone loses an eye. Yeah. Let me tell you. Someone's going to lose an eye next weekend.
Probably.
Pay the penalty.
So after the fight, there were Fabricio Verdum and Travis Brown's trainer, who's also Ronda Rousey's trainer, the controversial figure that is Edmund Tarverdian, was swearing at Verdum, and Verdum threw a teep kick at him. And in his broken English Portuguese... he just said, I was just trying to get him to keep his distance. And I say I say Edmund's controversial because with the exception of Ronda, who would have been great at any gym she walked into with a judo pedigree, all fighters who have come to him have ended up with losing records.
Yeah, right.
Listen to his advice to Ronda after round one with Holly Holm, when she was getting thoroughly dominated. The only words of wisdom he could muster up was, you're doing great, champ.
Right,
no, you're
okay.
Not f***ing doing great. You've got to make some adjustments.
You're getting pumped, sort yourself out.
He didn't give it any technical advice or anything. At all. So Travis Brown's record since being with Edmund is 1 win and 2 losses, and the win should have been a no contest with Matt Mitrione because, again, the fight was marred by eye pokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And like Matt Mitrione, there was photos of him after the fight. His eyes were just awful. He got stung in the eye by a bee. It was terrible. have a listen to Fabricio Verdum talk about the fight.
And talk about after the fight. Of course, kind of a weird scene there. You and Edmund Tarverdian looked like you threw a kick at him. What exactly happened there? Explain what happened. And do you have any regrets that you assaulted a coach?
No. His coach came up. Everybody boo, you know. Everybody say, ooh. You know why? Because this is a stimulus teach house. When the stimulus teach go to Brazil, everybody boo him too. I think the guy say, go the same thing. I say, okay, no problem. And this coach, the coach coming, I don't know his name.
Edmund Tarverdian.
Ah, okay. And he say, hey, shut up your mouth, son of a bitch. I say, what? Como é que é, filha da puta? Huh? Motherfucker. Yes, he say, motherfucker. He say, motherfucker, shut up your mouth, motherfucker. I say, what? And then, no. you say for me it's okay, but never my mom, you know. And I just keep the distance. I don't got the kick, man. I just keep the distance because, you know, he's a boxing coach, and I see in his eyes he wanna punch my face, you know. And I just keep the distance. That's it. But he comes first. He says a lot of things, bad things, you know. And my mom say, never say bad things for nobody. I say, okay. But he start.
So on to the main event. We got Stipe Miocic and Overeem, my old mate, in Miocic's hometown of Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely the fight tonight. Both guys dropping and wobbling each other in the first. The only round, which ended up being the only round of the scheduled five-rounder. After getting dropped by Overeem, Miocic showed great composure in his hometown, which is similar in size and slightly more populated than Canberra, to rally back and land some beautiful boxing combos against Overeem, who had his back on the cage. After surviving a strong attempt at a guillotine choke from Overeem, who back in his pride fighting days actually finished three fights in a row with a guillotine.
Yep.
So, and he's had more submissions than he's had KO. So
yeah,
Overeem's submissions are legit, but he escaped. And towards the end of the action-packed first round, Miocic caught one of Overeem's kicks, took him to the ground, and ended the fight with some very, very accurate ground and pound, landing some shots right on Overeem's chin.
Wow.
How good was Overeem running away? Like a sook.
Mate, but I think Overeem doesn't give a shit about what the crowd thinks.
No, he doesn't.
He
doesn't
want
care.
To stay in kickboxing range,
yep.
out of boxing range, out of wrestling range. He just want to keep the distance and let the legs. He doesn't give a shit. He just wants to win.
It's interesting. McGregor sort of walked around for half a round against Nate Diaz, and the world just opened up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And bloody, there's footage of, you know, Overeem running around the ring, and no one says boo.
Yeah. Mate, you know, it's strategy.
Yeah.
He's just buying himself a few seconds.
Yep.
Obviously, he was buzzed a little bit.
Yep.
Miocic was landing some good shots.
Yep.
It's strategy, man.
Yeah,
you can't always impress the crowd. Sometimes you've got to try and do the best
for
your brain.
Yeah, save yourself. Yeah, fair enough.
So, obviously, there was some controversy after the fight when Reem accused Miocic of tapping to the guillotine when the slow-mo replay clearly showed that he didn't.
I love how Rogan called him out on it straight away at the end.
Well, he did, but since the incident that didn't put the Reem in the best light, Joe Rogan, the commentator and interviewer for the UFC, has actually requested to the UFC brass that fighters shouldn't be interviewed after being knocked out. And I reckon that's a fair assessment. Because I know, even in my few fights, and I actually haven't taken that much
brain
trauma.
Well, save this because we've got a question about this later. So we've actually our listener.
How do you know
question,
what I'm going to say, man?
Well, I know where you're going. Save this. And that, see what we're doing. We're hooking people in to listen longer to the podcast, Benny.
Without ruining the future question.
Yeah.
This is the 13th TKO and KO Overeem has suffered in a 19-year career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So. How many of those are post-roids? Do we know?
It's four or five.
Okay,
a lot of them, wouldn't it? Yeah,
because he lost like three in a row after he got popped.
He looks like a different dude than the dude you fought, man.
Yeah,
like he's so like it's just not even in the same ballpark body wise.
Nah,
is he anymore?
Nah, he's got testicles.
Yeah,
probably.
No,
they're the size of kidney beans. But anyway.
So just a quick preview for the next main UFC card, which is UFC 204. Bisping versus Henderson, October 8th, the same day I'm fighting.
Number two, yeah?
Yeah, this is the rematch from UFC 100 back in 2009 with newly crowned middleweight champion Bisping again taking on Dan Henderson in defending his middleweight championship. The first fight ended in a brutal KO by Hendo and the silhouette of Hendo about to land the flying forearm on the already unconscious Bisping has become Hendo's logo. It's like the Air Jordan, but Air Hendo.
Yeah,
and I'm about to give you a traumatic brain injury instead of get a slam dunk. So that definitely adds a bit of feeling to the contest. Now, full credit to Bisping, though. He called Hendo out for this when Hendo isn't even in the top 10 anymore, but he's still getting some huge KOs, including his last fight against Hector Lombard via a massive pimp slap, like a backhand KO, flatline the guy. He's 46.
Yep.
But, mate, he's a legit threat to anyone. He'll never lose that power. The show sold out the 21,000-seat Manchester Arena in 7 minutes, which is amazing considering the show starts at 3 a.m. local time to accommodate for the American TV audience.
Mm-hmm. You'll just have a bunch of guys that resemble our mate Jay Burkett that'll come straight from the cock and scrotum pub the corner and
mate,
straight in with the
he'll
skin
He'll be coming
full.
In off 12 hours of drinking, mate. It's going to be awesome. The trash talk is going to be brilliant.
There's going to be some loose individuals in there. Imagine how blocked they're going to be by that time, Betty.
It's going to be madness. Half the crowd's probably going to get kicked bout. Yeah. Well, it's on the main
they'll
fight.
There'll be better fights outside getting in than there will be in the octagon.
Makes sense. Yeah. So you're right, Benny. I mean, we're talking 5 hours there, so it'll start at 10 p.m. on the east coast of America, which is when the cars normally start when you're over there, 7 in the west. So it makes sense, but men police, get ready.
Yeah, how good's that? I think a similar thing happened in Stockholm. Gus's fight with Johnson was like at a crazy time.
The one here in Melbourne started at 7 a.m.
That's right.
Yeah, it
started here at 7 a.m.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yep, that's right. It's good. Yeah, main event. Main car started at 11 or something.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That. So,
yeah.
There you go. Well, onto a bit of boxing news. The middleweight championship of the world, well, 3/4 of the middleweight championship, took place at a sold-out O2 Arena last weekend. A 20,000 people O2 Arena.
Superb.
With Triple G.
Superb entertainment.
Former WWE. I'm going to say WWE. I forgot WWE instead of welterweight. That's what I get for doing shorthand, man. Current welterweight champion Kell Brook was coming up 2 weight divisions to fight the hardest hitting middleweight in history in Triple G. 35 fights, 35 wins, 32 knockouts. Awesome fight with Brook landing more punches and better combos while Triple G intermittently was landing his trademark power shots. After 4 rounds, Brook was ahead on all the judges' scorecards, which were foreign guys. They weren't locals, 2 Canadians and 1 Italian.
Yep.
With 2 scoring the fight a draw and 1 giving the 3rd round to Brook, 10-8, which I don't think was fair.
It wasn't a 10-8,
but Brook was at least ahead by one point.
Yep.
The fight was actually stopped in the 5th due to damage to Brook's eye that was received in the 1st round. I rewatched it today. It was definitely in the 1st round, which was later confirmed as a fractured eye socket.
Oh, wow.
So Triple G's defense looked human with him eating a lot of shots, but I think him still managing to break his opponent's face will still be enough to make Canelo want to wait a bit longer for their long-awaited matchup. Canelo wasn't even mentioned in the post-fight interviews. Triple G actually called out the WBO middleweight champ. Triple G's got the other 3 belts, IBF, IBO, and WBC.
Yep.
With Billy Joe Saunders for the unified middleweight championship fight. Now, Billy Joe was quick to accept the challenge on social media, so hopefully we can get a unified middleweight championship of the world.
Mm. Yeah, nice.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it, if that happens? I mean, I saw Billy Joe Saunders had talked a bit of smack a couple of days after, Benny, but you would have also seen
it. Looked like he was in a trailer. Was he a gypsy as well?
He's a pokey. Yeah, but did you see as well, Chris Eubank?
You like ducks?
You like eggs? You like eggs?
What did he just say?
Yeah. He won a caravan, Harry Mara.
Harry, you blue scan permission to my mom.
Yeah. Hey,
you don't bring a like that, just you looking for faith.
Yeah. You what? Did you? What did you think about Chris Eubank Jr. coming out afterwards as well?
Yeah,
I mean, he came out as well. He tweeted GGG straight afterwards.
But the amount of shit.
Tweeted?
Yeah.
He tweeted him?
But, mate, he got offered the fight and it fell through.
Because his dad was a fighter. And apparently,
his dad's a legend in Eubank.
Yeah, but if you look through the comments on Eubank's Facebook page, all the fans who are fans of his are saying, get rid of your dad. Your dad's ruining your career. Your dad's a nightmare. So who knows? Is it like a Yelena Dokic, Demir Dokic thing going on there?
His dad is a legend, but he's obviously not doing
the comments were funny. I mean, the comments got the attention of Triple G. He came out and tweeted him and said, if you want to fight with a real British middleweight, come and take me on. I'm ready for you. Yeah. Obviously, with Billy Joe in the way, and then if this guy comes in, well it's going to be a while till the Canelo fight happens.
Well, I know what happened with the Canelo fight was Triple G wanted 60-40.
And
Canelo wanted 60-40 his way.
Mm.
But I can understand, like, Triple G on
paper. So where do you meet the middle there, right? What does simple mathematics tell you?
But the thing is, I think from Canelo's argument is Canelo's going to sell more pay-per-views. He's more bums on seats, eyes on the TV. So, but Triple G in boxing circles is arguably the bigger draw. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Tell the listeners how it would feel when you're coming up against a guy like Triple G.
Shit.
You've nailed it. That's a correct answer. I want some expansion on this. You've come up against a guy who is just, he's world class, obviously. Was he? He's 35-0 coming into this fight, wasn't he? With the 32 KOs. Kell Brook definitely, in my eyes, had won that fight, you know, after the 4th round. He's hit him with his best shots. He sat back, obviously, he counterattacked Kell Brook, you know, hit him with the left jab beautifully. But Triple G did not stop walking forward, did not stop walking at him, and he just put on that consistent pressure. How do you feel, Benny, as a fighter in any form of martial arts, when you're hitting a guy with your best shots? You know you've won the fight up until this point. And he just nodded. GGG just nodded at everything. And just went, yep, you got me again. Came forward, and just hunted him down like a mongrel dog. It was just sensational.
Well, I think that's actually part of how Triple G generates so much power. He doesn't bother moving his head, so he's always got his balance.
Yep.
He's always in range for the power shots.
Yeah.
But if you're not mentally prepared for it, it can break you. But I think Kelbrook, and a lot of people would hang in there. Like, you know what you're up against. You're up against a big banger with an iron chin. I've thrown my best shots. I've landed my best shots. He's still there. But screw it, man. When I go into a fight, I'm always thinking worst case scenario. Yeah. I'm always thinking it's going to go the distance. It's going to be a bloodbath. I'm going to be gassed. If you think worst case scenario every time, it can only get better.
Was it premature then to throw the towel in? Or was it? He's still open, but it wasn't.
Kelbrook actually said after the fight, he was upset at the time, obviously, but Kelbrook said after my corner probably to save my career.
Yeah.
Imagine getting eight more.
Orbital's gone.
Seven more rounds of getting punched in the head by the biggest punch of middleweight ever. You've already got a fractured skull.
Yeah.
His corner did the right thing.
Yeah, good. Yeah, nice. That's good for him. I mean, it was a good fight, though. I thought Triple G.
Yeah, it was very entertaining.
It was.
It was a bloody cracker. It was a great fight. Full credit to Kel, man.
Yeah. Round two was absolutely brilliant. It was
a dilly of a pickle, as Ned Flanders would say. I was a bit worried before the fight, though, because in the press conference like 2 days before, Gennady looked sick. He looked terrible.
Mm.
He's standing there in his suit and his eyes look sunken in. He looked pale.
Trying to cut weight.
No, he doesn't cut at all. He was 162 a week out.
Yeah, right.
All he had to do was take an AGB and he would have been under. But he actually fought sick. Like, he fought sick against this real tough Philly guy, Gabriel Rosado, at the start of 2013, and still punched out of him. So.
that's a non-issue.
So, yeah, and that's a wrap, folks.
He's a world champion with countless belts.
Super champion!
And he's a guy who struggles to find a good fitting belt. You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
It is a Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, and time to thank our other wonderful sponsor on the show. It is the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
I'm having withdrawals, man.
You said that last week. You got no one to blame but yourself, Benny.
I'm anemic.
The soccer mum van is driving well thanks to the guys at Lang's. Hey, you've got a car.
I'm anemic.
Get yourself in there.
All I've been eating all week's fish, man. I'm sick of fish.
Mate, I've moved
Slash. It's time for a steak, Benny.
It's time for I need some. I'm full-blown anemic.
I've moved Slash.
I shook Steve's hand. My hand's bruised.
I've moved Slash the Staffy onto the proper raw food diet that a lot of people are championing for dogs now. So no
dry
food.
Is that self-explainary?
Yeah, pretty much. What they'd eat in the wild because they're wolves.
Wolves, man.
So he's eating chicken wings, and they also do these things called dog logs. So if you've got a
I've stepped in a few.
Yeah. No, these things are awesome. They're full of all the bits and like heart, liver, and spleen, and then chicken mince, and the dog just goes mental for them.
Does he do? I know he's got chicken there as well. Does he do the chicken livers? Does he keep them?
Yeah, you can get all of that sort of stuff.
I love that. It's a very rich taste, but it's flavouring properly. I love that chicken liver. I felt $1 million when I had that.
They do all the crazy stuff at the butcher shop, all their fillets and their surf and turfs and all their things like that. But they also do all the traditional stuff too. And they also have what I call the butcher's cuts, because growing up as a butcher's kid, I used to eat tongue on toast as a kid because that's what mum used to make. But yeah, kidneys, oxtail, tongue, all of that stuff.
It's good for what ails you.
Oh, it's awesome. Puts hairs on your chest.
I've got to get in there. I'll put some hair on your arse. Does he do haggis?
Dixon and Kayleen. Yeah, he actually does get haggis in from a specialty Scottish butcher shop in Sydney.
We'll have to do that at the next, what's the Scottish version of Valhalla Heaven? It's, I went to this Celtic festival.
Yeah, right.
Brigadoon. Mm. Bundanoon is Brigadoon.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I went to that. I'll have to have that next Brigadoon festival.
Well, they had the summer markets here in Queanbeyan last year that the council put on last summer, and down near the Bicentennial Centre there. And I was driving along Crawford Street and I saw a caravan. And, you know, normally you think, oh, it's a carnival, snow cones, stuff like that. It was a haggis caravan.
That's awesome.
How good is that stuff? That's awesome. But whatever you want to eat that's made of meat, the butcher shop is the place to go and get it. Kayleen's open 7 days, Dixon open 6. Go and get it down your neck.
Now, on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, it's time to get loud and local. Here's something you probably haven't heard before.
It is local music time, and Benny, some boys from your old alma mater, I think is what you call it, Radford College.
There's a lot of talent comes out of there, man. Well, Biff Merchants, Musos.
Yeah, well, I know.
We can do it all.
I think the guys from Drawing North might have gone there. Yeah, I know.
You mentioned someone else.
Hands Like Houses went to Radford. Yeah, I know that. And so did these guys, Safia, who, like, in the last couple of years, these guys have just been on fire.
Well, I remember Groove and the Moon, Peking Duck.
Yeah, they were on Peking Duck single. I remember interviewing them at the radio station a couple of years ago, just before Groove and the Moon. And like these guys weren't even old enough to shave then, and they're producing some of the best electronic and chill out music that you've ever heard, and just amazing.
Would you hear this music at Mr. Wolf?
You would, Benny. Yeah. You would. All I remember from Mr. Wolf at my Bucks party is walking in there at 43 years of age going, why are there 12-year-olds drinking here? I know they weren't 12 because you checked their ID.
Are you doing your job properly, Mr. Edwards?
But 18-year-olds these days look like they're 12, man.
We'll have to get them playing there.
Yeah. Oh, man, these guys are massive. Like, they just can't put a foot wrong at the moment. So from their a brand-new album that's just come out, we're going to play Over You right now. It's Safia on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
What do I gotta do? Tell me, why should I care? I wanna get over. I wanna get over you. Never blink when you're not there. I wanna hold another, not a lover, but you are not aware. I wanna hope that I can find to ease my broken mind. I wanna hide you undercover till I don't recognize. What do I gotta do? Tell me, why should I care? I wanna get. Someone give me sight, I need a sign. Rewind this clock, replace my time. I wanna find another, so I recover. Recalibrate my eyes. I wanna fade from gray to blue. Replace the things you do. Fade this lover, hide the clutter that comes along with you. I can't see. What do I gotta do? Tell me, why should I care? I wanna get over you. I need another truth. Cause you're black when you stare. I wanna get over.
To Lang's Auto Centre Queanbeyan and the Butcher Shop Dixon and Kayleen, you've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben the Governor Edwards. God bless the interwebs.
That's exactly what it is. Thanks for downloading it, streaming us, whatever you do. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share it around on social media from our Facebook page. The more people that listen to this podcast each week, the better. Let's get it out there. We've already got people listening all around the world. Let's just make the audience even bigger, huh?
Have we figured out how to see how many subscribers we have on iTunes yet?
No.
And by we, I mean you.
No, I haven't been. I mean, once we changed, when we were just on Podomatic, it was really easy to see exactly.
Because other people do. Yeah. I hear Rogan and the Fighter and the Kid talk about how many subscribers they have all the time.
I'll give Joe Rogan a call tomorrow.
Get on to it, man.
I'll find out.
Tweet him.
Yeah, we will. Well, just
Message tapped, and how do you bloody figure this out?
We'll start a tweet campaign to get you in the UFC, Benny.
Mm. Well, let me make sure I don't get my head punched in the first couple of cage fights, and then we'll go from there.
Mate, you can't do worse than Punk did.
No, I can't.
You can't.
Well, you haven't. That's the truth. That's right.
You've done some MMA stuff already.
But he's got 25 mil in the bank and I don't. So
that's hey, Benny, just keep believing, brother.
I believe.
Keep on believing.
Praise Odin.
What is it with the 80s songs tonight? It's awesome.
They're coming.
Stevie P, segment five. It's all yours, my friend. Take it away.
Thanks very much, Scotty.
Stevie Sportorama.
The Sportorama. No, what did you call it again? The Delectable Wide.
Yeah, the is a play on words on Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
look, we'll go with Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, we'll do that for a start. Yeah, plenty to talk about this week, boys. Couple of controversial subjects I want to go in, which aren't quite sporting, but let's start off with the actual stuff the field first. Rugby league and the Raiders. The atmosphere on Saturday night last week was one of the best I've experienced anywhere. I thought it was fantastic.
Yep.
I felt the Raiders maybe got a little bit overawed by the situation in the middle of that second half where they were 12-0
up. They lost Josh Hodgson. He's going to win Dalian Player of the Year.
You'd think so. That's right, Scotty.
He's the best player on the park this year for that team and does so much, and they lost him.
Well, him and Austin.
It didn't help.
Yeah,
I mean,
Austin was out, so
Austin probably at the situation, well, I think it was about 25 minutes in, 12-0 up, and they had six sets in a row on the Sharks line. Yeah. That was the moment where someone like an Austin may have just been able to provide that spark,
doubt,
the moment they managed to get them over the line. I just feel now for the Raiders, you don't really want it to be a straight set exit, but at the same time, I'm a little bit worried for them now, I think. I mean, the crowd will still turn up. I still think
Austin will play. Well, there's 20,000 tickets sold as of we recorded this Wednesday night. There were 20,000 tickets sold Wednesday arvo. So I reckon it'll sell out. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Austin will be back. He'll play. There's no way he won't play.
Well, look, there's not going to be a next week if he doesn't play.
Is Hodgson definitely out?
I think so.
The ankle was pretty – it was rolled bad. Yeah. So he was walking around at Raiders HQ yesterday. He wasn't hobbling, but there's bone bruising, they reckon, in the ankle. So
that's it.
You never know.
To actually get 80 minutes out of him, I don't think would be likely. And you're better off having a fitter guy in there to do the job.
Kurt Baptiste and the Raiders bought Adam Clydesdale from the Knights at the start of the year. And he's a bloody good young hooker, Adam Clydesdale. So if I was Ricky, I'd have Kurt Baptiste starting the match. And
is that his real name?
Yeah.
Clydesdale.
Adam Clydesdale, yeah.
What positions are you playing?
Hooker. So he's a
he should
well.
Be a front rower by the sound of it.
No, he's a little whippet, mate. But I reckon I'd start with Baptiste because he's been quite good. He doesn't have the running game of Hodgson, but his service out of dummy half is quick.
That's right. And he's good defensively as well, which is what you need. You need a guy. I mean, it was just a shame that they lost Hodgson when they did. They lost that
50 minutes
in the middle. That's it. They lost the guy who actually steered them around the park, which a good hook.
And
would
it was
do
friendly
that,
fire too. It was Aiden Caesar's bloody leg swung around trying to make a tackle that rolled his ankle.
Exactly right, which is a shame. So look, I hope the Raiders can turn it around this weekend.
So
they play a Penrith side who are in good form, hitting the finals well, and the scoreline doesn't reflect what they did to the Bulldogs last week.
No,
they only won by
all
16
over.
Scotty, but they pumped them. It should have been 30 or 40. So
I mean, Cartwright, Matty Moyland has grown another leg after Origin. It took him about a month, but he's done that. Peachy is on fire,
absolutely.
And Wallace moving into hooker from halfback, like he's got so much experience, so
it's worth the trip.
Do you think a lot of that with the Raiders on the weekend was inexperience? Average home crowd was like 7,500. And there's 26,000 people there.
I don't know.
It's a lot of pressure, man. Pressure, man. I'm telling you.
I think there was situations in that first half of the game could have been managed a little bit better. I mean, like I mentioned before, at the time when they were up and looking really, really sharp, they probably could have just taken the game away. I also felt, towards the back end of that second half as well, a couple of rash decisions, trying to rush it as well when they didn't need to. A bit of panic set in where you probably just need to, complete your sets.
Let's get the basics right.
That's it, a few
simple,
errors crept
simple
in.
Game, rugby league.
It is.
Hold the ball,
and that's why it's a great game to watch, because it's so simple that if you do the basics right, completing your sets is a massive part in league.
Yeah.
You complete 80-85%,
you're probably
going to go a long way.
Yeah,
so
defense wins games.
So good luck to the Raiders this weekend. The other semi-final sees an all Queensland affair, Cowboys and the Broncos at Townsville on
Which
Friday
team
night.
Do you spit on first?
Probably the Broncos, though. For me, so.
And I mean, as we're recording this, actually I'll have a quick look on Twitter, but as we're recording this, James Roberts is at the tribunal for a
that's
kick.
Right, for his kick.
How the hell
did he get sent off, Scotty?
I don't know.
Did you say that?
Going,
disgraceful.
Did you hear the Broncos defense today? They've turned around and gone, it wasn't a hard kick.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
He was just keeping distance.
It's not UFC, you dickhead.
Yeah, wake up. Yeah,
it's like Verdun and Trevirdian. He's just keeping his distance.
So, I mean, you watch, he'll get off. And how did Corey Parker not get charged for that headbutt?
Yeah, as well.
Maybe if you play 300 games and you're in a final series, you can do whatever you like.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, look at Justin Hodges last year. That's right. So,
just to bring up that tool.
Michael Ennis, boys, I thought that was. I thought the way he handled it afterwards was pretty poor. I thought last night, I mean, Ricky gave him a serve, which was warranted. He was on NRL on Fox last night with Iken and Paul Kent. He was also on the back page and he was talking to Tony Squires about it. And he was just, I just don't like the way he came out about it and said, oh, look, it was just a bit of fun. It was just a bit of this. You know, what happened with on the back page was is that Paul Kent got stuck into him and said, mate, just say that you're trying to roll him up. You're trying to get under there.
I was calling them over.
That's the problem. Sort of just come out. Oh, no, I was doing it to the Sharks fan. No, piss off. You were being a jerk and you're trying to fire him
but
up.
But if you actually said, you know what? I was caught in the moment. I was pumped up.
Yeah.
Probably made a poor judgment. Yeah,
exactly
call.
Right. Yeah. And
people would have a lot more respect for him.
And what Ricky did by coming out and saying what he did was basically get behind his fans to rev them up for this weekend again, to make sure they come through the store. Yeah. So he did the right thing, and Ricky worked off what Ennis did perfectly. But, you know, as was written in the Telegraph today as well by Paul Kent, he said, you know, teams, that's what really creates rivalries and creates all that, you know, that stigma the between passion. Teams. Like he talked about Manly, you know, being booed every single year from the 70s. You know, if you're not booed as a Manly player, you feel like you're not out there to actually play anyone.
They're the heels of the NRL.
The heels, that's right. And, you know, that's exactly talk about, you know, teams like the Oakland Raiders in the 80s who, you know, just went out there to bash teams and just, you know, whatever, we'll bash them first, we'll win after. That's sort of stuff.
Better move into LA.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, straight out of Compton. But you know, that's the sort of thing where if you're Ennis, just come out and say, yep, caught in the moment, I was taking the mickey
and
out.
And everyone knows anyway.
And that, they know he's
just
what
admit
he's
it.
Like.
Don't be a grub.
That's
Robert's
right.
Got should, found guilty. He just, got, he just got found done. It. Yeah, he got done, so he's out for a week.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean,
no, it is.
It's justice,
good.
Though. It's justice. It is. And, so, and that's what you need. So, look, I thought Ennis, the way he handled that was rather poor, but anyway.
Especially with the club. That's only come along since Iceland was out of there.
Yeah, they took it from Iceland.
That's awesome, man. It's such a good community thing.
Oh, it works.
For us. And we've actually got something to do. You know, the Atlanta Braves got the chop. Everyone's got their own shit. It's cool for us,
is watching it in Canberra when they focus in on the crowd and you watch the uncos that can't clap in time.
Their
tongues hanging out of their mouth and they're trying to count on four.
It's like please don't reproduce. It's like watching it's like watching Metallica play. It wasn't a million people in Moscow or some shit.
Yeah.
But you can actually see when they do the clap because the sound, it takes the sound that little
it's
while to
the
travel
Haas
there.
Effect, Benny.
Yeah.
The what effect?
The Haas effect, Haas.
Oh, there you go.
The German guy that discovered
that. Well, that's
that.
What I was going to say. At Bruce Stadium, I don't think there's a Haas effect in place.
No, it's not just, really, no.
It's not big enough. It's just the Unco effect.
The strange clappers there. I want to talk about something a little bit sensitive, boys. There's been massive blow up in the media about the sledge from Shane Mumford towards Lance Franklin. I'm not sure if you boys have seen a whole lot of this. And Benny, I want to hear your opinion on this. I'm not going to say too much about it because it's such a politically sensitive world out there these days.
Well, Lance Franklin, was it during the game?
Is it during the game?
Lance Franklin obviously publicly battled. Buddy Franklin, sorry.
That's right. That's Buddy Benny,
battled with depression this year.
I met his missus. We used to be sponsored by this Nude by Nature, the same sponsor in Sydney.
Right.
Yeah. And she was getting in there for a photo shoot before. What's her name?
Jacinta Campbell.
Cool chick, man.
So he had a public battle with depression this year that was played out.
Well documented.
He got sledged about that.
Exactly right, Scotty. So what happened, Benny, was is that during the game, Buddy started it and said something on the lines of, you know, defecting from the club. It had something to do with, you know, we used to be teammates and now you've buggered off or something like that. And what he came out and said to him was, oh, it's glad to see that you're in the finals this year, mate, and not having a holiday. And obviously he's referencing the fact that Buddy, you know, self-excluded himself from the finals last year because he was suffering from some serious mental health problems. And it's been, you know, maybe not blown up's the right word. I think it's a topic which is, you know, it's got a lot more limelight these days and people know a lot more about the serious effects of mental health.
Yeah.
But it was hugely blown up. The fact that, you know, the reference was more, Scotty, that back in the day, you used to say whatever you wanted on the field. You used to call people's mums X, Y, and Z. You used to say this about your missus, whatever the case may have been. And it really ended with a shake hands and let's have a beer. And that's where it always stopped. But now, you know, the sensitivity of it is, I guess, that it came out in the media straight away.
Yeah.
And the argument, I think, from GWS was, well, come on. I mean, this has been going on for 100 years, but now all of a sudden, because it's about a topic like that, you know, when is someone's mother or someone's partner or someone's whatever not sensitive anyway? So, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, it was something that, you know, Buddy apparently took to heart. Mumford had to sort of grovel a little bit this week and call him up and apologize and say, I'm really sorry about that. But is it too much or is it just positive that they're, you know, heightening the awareness of issues like this?
It's obviously positive that they're heightening awareness of the issues. But, you know, I had a guy say to me on the door after I did that Facebook post, I kicked him out and he's like, oh, F off, you're depressed, see?
Oh, really?
And I didn't give a shit, man.
Exactly.
I don't love you. I don't respect you. I couldn't give a shit what you think.
Yeah, wow.
If someone said to me on the footy field, I'm just going to cheap shot him and get sent off. I don't know, man. It depends. If someone said that to me in a fight or something, or in a footy game, I don't think I'd care. I'd just try and get him back to some degree. If it's someone I care about, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I also understand why people are upset. Obviously, he's a poster boy for the illness and obviously held in a high regard for a lot of people that are suffering it. I don't know. It's I don't know what if there's a definitive answer to it, but
what about,
I don't think it'd bother me too much, but I definitely understand why people are upset.
Yeah, but what about the nature of the old... What happens on the field stays on the field, though. Is that not sacred anymore, though, Scotty? Is that done now?
Well, I think with a lot of these guys, too, and especially like with Buddy Franklin, you know, with what he went through last year, the fact that someone called him out on it and had a go at him, players these days have relationships with the media. So it probably...
Correct.
Buddy would have walked off, told someone in charge of the team, and they would have gone, we're going to get traction out of this.
Yeah.
And that's where it's happened. But
is that the incorrect use of media these days, though, Scotty? Is that someone... are they trying to get the wrong type of traction out of it?
There's a story.
Because it was in the papers all week.
Yeah, but there's a story.
It's been in the back pages all week. Buddy's picture's been there. The Swans Guernsey's getting... they wouldn't have been in there because they lost. And GWS proved that they're probably a real title contender now. I mean, they pumped the Swans, and the Swans are firm favourites heading into this final series, so... It's something I just think.
Yeah, but the world, regardless, take the depression angle out of it and just the blow up about things that get said. The world is becoming so precious and people are like, I call it jumping on the outrage train. All these people with social media accounts now, everyone can have a say now. Everyone's got a platform
even under anonymity.
Yeah, that's right. Whether they create a fake one or what.
And we've talked about this in recent weeks, the keyboard warriors and all the spastics that come out. As you said, Scotty, don't feed the trolls. But I just think, in my mind, it's like, where does this end? I'm certainly not.
I love Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry put out a quote, the British comedian, a couple of years ago.
He's a very smart man.
Oh, he's extremely smart. And if you haven't seen, he was on a British show all about religion. And it's a famous show in Britain. I can't remember the name of it. But the priest that hosts it said to him, what will you say when you get to meet God?
Oh, I've seen
Have
that.
Have you seen
Gold,
that?
Yeah.
Have you? Oh, Stevie, go
How
and watch
dare
it.
You?
Yeah, his response about that, because he's a well-known atheist.
Yeah.
But his thing about being offended, he's gone, too often these days people say, I'm offended.
And what about kids' cancer?
So fucking what?
Yeah, exactly.
You're offended.
But that's the thing. With
Who cares?
Good,
great. Yeah.
Instead of saying like, oh, you hurt my feelings, like that's a society of victims, as always. Been spoken about a lot the last couple of years.
I mean, I remember back, when we were playing representative cricket as a kid, some of the sledges you'd cop were just like, are you serious? But I don't know.
Wog boy!
Yeah. No, we're just laughing. Good on you. Yeah. All sorts of rubbish. But I don't know. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not just sitting here saying that depression is not a serious thing and all these issues are not serious, but fair dinkum, man.
But where do you draw the line?
I'm just getting sick and tired of seeing it now. And I want to flow that into, I'll let you speak in a sec. Sorry, Benny.
Shut up, mate.
But I want to flow that quickly into the whole Jared Haynes saga. It is just becoming an absolute nightmare that stories that have nothing to do with the sport themselves are taking over the airwaves, front pages.
Let him hang out with some assholes.
Junk.
Yeah, but the problem is with the NRL guys. With the NRL guys, there's a code of conduct. And if you're... And as Jared has come out and said, I didn't know I was in a room with a bikie.
Crap.
He knew. He knew.
Of course he did.
So, and again, it's a bad look for him, but he hasn't broken the law in any way.
Exactly.
But it is a bad look for a player, especially like Jared Hayne, in a game with a code of conduct to be hanging out with bikies.
Correct.
So, and that's where a lot of these kids, especially with rugby league, they start playing rugby league at 15. They get signed by clubs when they're 15. They don't live in the real world. The same thing happened to Todd Carney. Todd Carney got $60,000 when he was 12 from the Raiders. Never worked a day in his life, didn't understand what the outside world was like.
Yep.
They've got a very strange view on how the world works and they don't understand.
It's the same as some young rock stars that get
they
get huge money when they're young. They don't have to progress beyond 18 years of old.
Spend it all up their nose and all that sort of stuff. So,
it's just becoming a nightmare to me when you pick up the front page of the paper and albeit, when you're picking up the Daily Telegraph, it's a little bit different to the Australian or something like that, as you will know, Scotty. But you're picking up the newspaper to have a serious read about what's going on. And Jared Hayne with wads of cash and whoever this bikey bloke is, the front page of the newspaper. It's just becoming farcical to me. I'm sick and tired of reading that. He's not front page news.
Yeah.
But what's that saying?
If you don't read the paper, you're ill-informed. If you do read the paper, you're misinformed.
Misinformed. Yeah.
That's right.
Has that ever been different?
Well, I don't think
it's always just sensationalized stories.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at some of the shit, especially with social media, that the news outlets post as a story these days.
Yeah, that news.com's a joke. I think that's done by teenagers.
I saw one yesterday and it was like Vince Vaughn. And it's going, Vince Vaughn doesn't look like this anymore.
Yeah,
and I got sucked in. It was clickbait. Yeah, I went on clickbait. He shaved his fucking head for a movie.
That's hard.
The guy looks like, oh, well, you know, news at 11. News at 11, man shaves head. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
that's not new.
There's heaps of clickbait shit everywhere.
Yeah, there is, and that's how they drive ad revenue to their websites. So,
and the whole Bad Monday stuff is fine. I mean, guys go out and get on the piss like
that. Well, no one did anything dumb this year that we've heard of so far.
That's right. That's come out. That's been crazy. That's
most of the clubs have been pretty smart, and they'll hire a room at a pub or
I did security on Sunday night for the Queanbeyan Roos boys.
Did you?
By myself.
Were you there? Were you?
30 footy heads at Little Brooklyn. They came.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're all good, mate. I knew half of them anyway, but they're all.
That's smart. Put everyone in one room.
No one else there, just them.
And just
that's
do
the way
that.
It's done.
Manly did it a few years ago when they won the comp. They hired out the top deck of a penthouse at the Corso.
It's the best
they
thing
just
to do.
Stayed Feel up there and locked them in there. And then go nuts, boots. Boys. Do whatever you want. Yeah. We'll let you out when you're sober.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah,
get whoever you want in and whatever you want in, but nothing comes out. Phones stay inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. I wanted to touch on that as well. Canberra Raiders Cup Grand Final that was on last weekend. Unfortunately for the Queanbeyan Kangaroos, they lost and got done in the last couple of minutes.
They weren't too happy.
Against Westbelt. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, against West Belconnen. It was a game that the Roos dominated first half especially. They scored a miraculous try. If any of you guys remember in the Anzac Test going back about 7-8 years ago when GI and Mark Gasnier combined to score that try. Yeah. Remember that, Scotty?
I do, man.
There was a mirror at Seaford Oval of that.
Right.
I can't remember who was running through. It could have been Brian Cronin, I think, but he ran through, dived, you know, probably 2 or 3 metres past the dead ball line.
Flicked it back.
And the try was scored right on half time to make it 18-6 instead of 12-6. But you know, the Kangaroos ran into a huge breeze in the second half against the Sun and against a side that was really pumped up. I think they were just happy to be where they were.
Yep.
West Belconnen, they'd beaten the Blues on the way through to the final last week, and then they knocked off, I think it was Belconnen Scholars, I think, in the first week. I can't quite remember.
Coached by Troy Thompson, Tomo.
Right. Yeah, and a fantastic achievement for them. They got back to 18-all in that second half midway through. Roos got back up 24-18, only to get level pegged again at 24-all, and then a late penalty for West Belconnen, Robbie Roberts kicking the goal with about two to go to take it 26-24. Commiserations for the Queanbeyan Roos, but at the same time, you know, congratulations to West Belconnen coming from third to win the premiership was a great achievement.
Wow,
so
nice.
That was really good for them.
It reminds me, not too dissimilar from my last ever game. I was Queanbeyan Blues. We finished up with them in 2003, but I played with them for the 3 years, including that the 2 years before. We were undefeated for like 3 years, and my last game of footy, we were even in the grand final. We beat Goulburn in the minor semis, played him again in the GF, and Todd Carney got a field goal of 20 seconds to go to win the game.
Mm.
Jerk.
Yeah. Asshole. How dare you. Just quickly on the Jarryd Hayne one, boys, I just wanted to mention that, do you remember last year when the whole NFL saga was going on, the 49ers, all that sort of stuff, and he was in direct competition with Carlos Hyde, was the guy who was slightly injured. Well, he starred in the San Francisco 49ers win 28-0 over the Los Angeles Rams over the weekend and proved, there was a little bit of commentary about it in the American media over the weekend, and I think it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek where I was saying, what were these guys even thinking about, you know, getting Jarryd Hayne in when you've got a guy like Carlos Hyde? He ran for 88 yards, scored two touchdowns.
Most of their running backs got bloody injured.
I think the irony of it was he had to compete against those guys the way he did, but at the same time, I mean...
But maybe that helped him find some form now with all the competition that he faced last year.
Yeah, I think the quip was, though, is like, you look at how good Carlos Hyde performed. I mean, what were they thinking?
Hyde played two good games last year and then was broken.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he was gone. And that's where they struggled. So, I mean, good luck to him anyway.
No, not that broken.
No.
I think it was hammies.
Not Spinal Tap broken.
Yes.
And a quick wrap-up, boys, of a few things that have gone on in the world of sport in the last week. Stan Wawrinka winning the US Open. Fantastic achievement. Third Grand Slam. Quick stat for you, boys. Since 2006, there's only been three men that have won a Grand Slam apart from the big four, Murray, Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic. Two of those, Del Potro, US Open 2009, and Marin Cilic, US Open 2014. Stan's the only guy who's won more than an Australian Open, French Open.
And he's still pretty young. Is he similar age to Kyrgios?
Late 20s, I think.
Stan. Oh, he's a bit older.
Yeah, mid to late 20s. He's been around for a while, but he just knows how to put it together. He's won his last.
And he's not
a
dickhead.
He's a very
He played against
guy.
Djokovic in the Aussie Open final last
French
year.
Open last year, that's
yeah,
right.
Mate, he did. You can see he's a good bloke.
And he beat Nadal in the Australian Open final in 2014. So congratulations to a nice guy of sport, really, is what he is. He won his third Grand Slam, and he turns up in the big games because that was his 11th final win in a row, his third Grand Slam win out of three. So congratulations to him.
What's the average prime for a tennis player? A bit younger?
I think late 20s probably.
Mid to late 20s. In the early 30s.
You have your prodigious talents who are very good at a young age, but I think Kornikova. Mentally...
She was great.
She had talent.
She was superb. So, that was really good. So congratulations to Stan. And just a quick one in the Champions League this morning. Quick review. Barcelona pumped Celtic 7-0. Bayern Munich beat Rostov 5-0. So the usual suspects
high
getting
scores.
Off it. Yeah, high scores. Real Madrid should beat Sporting Lisbon tomorrow. Mm. And unfortunately, for a competition that was so revered for so many years, the European Cup, European Champions League, as it's now
some mismatches.
Known, it's just being dominated by those teams with big money. So without going into it, as we spoke about, you know, a couple of weeks back, there's just these big teams are dominating it now. And you're seeing, you know, Celtic's a grand old club of European football.
Oh, man.
It's getting smashed 7-0 this morning. It's just...
They can't be beaten in the Scottish League.
Yeah,
they cannot
be
beaten.
You're right.
Rose Tattoo.
And they beat Rangers 5-1, the first Old Firm
and did
derby.
You see what Rangers fans did to Celtic's ground? They destroyed all the loos and stuff. So a big shout out to our good mate Graham, who's listening, who is the biggest Hoops fan that has ever drawn breath. Loves them to death.
And
but,
congratulations to Celtic and also local Canberra and Tom Rogic, who started in that Old Firm derby. So he's doing a fantastic job over there. And that's the wide world of sports, or as Benny calls it, the delectably.
I don't even know what to call it.
Going
back to the We Can't Be Beaten, I came out to that song in my first fight after Hopper and
I
lost.
Beaten?
Yeah. Turns out I could be beaten.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, Benny, you went to go down this path during Bifurama, and I said, hold
you
fire.
You cut me off, man,
hold
as
fire.
Usual.
Hold fire, big dog, because we've got it in a question for you. So from our good mate Boppo, after the fight the other night with Overeem and Misic, he said, I felt him tap. What are your thoughts? Have you ever said something trippy post-fight?
I don't know if I've said anything trippy. I have been interviewed. There are a few interviews on YouTube, and I sound pretty normal, quite coherent. Well, as coherent as normal.
Yep.
And
as coherent as I can be.
I definitely know that looking back on some fights, your memory is definitely clouded because apparently adrenaline has an effect on your memory system.
And that's why
there's – because I actually learned about this watching a documentary on rape cases of all things.
Right.
Where women can actually – believe that they've got the right guy, but they've 100% got the wrong
guy.
Like
bank robberies as well.
Yeah,
like, there's 20
adrenaline,
people in there. What do they look like? And everyone says, I don't know.
Adrenaline really clouds your memory.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think, as I touched on before, I think if you get knocked out, there should be not be a microphone in your face.
So Joe Rogan called for this, you were
100%,
saying?
100%. And I reckon he's completely right. Even not necessarily knocked out, but even just concussed. I'm sure if there's been a few fights I've had where if someone stuck a microphone in my face afterwards, I wouldn't have made too much sense.
Yep.
Not because I was unconscious or being knocked out, but adrenaline, I'm tired, I'm probably dehydrated,
yep.
I'm a bit flustered. You know, it's not the best time to be interviewing someone after they get knocked out. So.
I always laugh at the Olympics and stuff too. You know, Usain Bolt's just run the 100 or the 200 and they try and interview him. They're like, just
swimming's
wait.
A classic example of that.
Swimming, yes. Yeah. Oh. Those poolside interviews.
Yeah.
And that's what Ryan Lochte sounds like all the time. But athletes should get a bit of a rest period, a grace period.
Well,
I
think Joe Rogan's got a fair bit of pull.
Yeah.
And I think things are definitely going to change now.
Leave it for the post-fight.
If that's
the
case,
okay. give him an hour to chill out.
Yeah.
Get some water into him.
On the opposite side of that then, was he right to put him on the spot like that?
That's his job. They've done that forever.
The rules are as they are at the moment.
That wasn't up to him.
He kind of took the mickey out of him a bit. I mean,
I don't think he did.
I disagree.
I don't think he did take the mickey out of him.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, it could have been avoided though. He could have just not asked it and just gone, okay.
But Overeem's the one who said it. He said it and Overeem's like, okay, let's have a look.
And they always put it up on the big screen.
Could be avoided. You don't interview someone who's been knocked out. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
think we got a show?
Oh yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
It is listener request time, and we started episode 18 off with the song that CM Punk walks out to
one
now
of them.
And did for the end of his WWE career, Living Colour. But we got this on the email from Claudia, and she said, please play This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage, because it reminded me watching him walk out that he didn't always walk out to Living Colour, which he didn't.
Yeah, well, the first time I noticed CM Punk was obviously the guy with the Pepsi tattoo on his shoulder.
That's right.
That came out. Yeah. To, I didn't know it was Killswitch, actually. I knew it was some
This Fire
some
Burns.
Screamy genre.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, that's how I discovered Killswitch. I'd never
via
heard
punk.
Of it. Yeah, via punk. Same as way I discovered Alter Bridge through The Edge.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that was before the days of Shazam, too. You had to go to Google and type The Edge walk-in song and find some nutbag in a forum that knew what it was. Now you just hold your phone up, unless it's Ben's. Which is
like the flip phone, man.
Oh, you got Snake, though. Snake's cool.
Mate, I don't even have Snake.
No.
Oh, no.
Is it Nokia?
Nah, it's a Telstra phone. Like, I wish the first thing I checked.
Surely. Do you know what I need to do? I'll find another sponsor for the show, a telco, so we can get you at least a decent phone.
Please. Yeah. My phone actually, they cancelled my contract completely, so I had to pay it out in one hit.
Right.
Yeah, so my phone cost me $800 last week.
How do you have an $800
phone bill? Well, I
didn't
pay like three phone bills, and I went over the internet every time and then just didn't do nothing for 3 months. Yeah.
Data will hurt you.
So now I'm back to bring batteries. Right in shorthand.
Man. All right. Well, let's get stuck into this one. This is a great song. And yeah, this is the song Punk used to walk out to on the WWE. It's This Fire Burns, Killswitch on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Yeah!
Gate. That is a rockin' little ditty indeed. This Fire Burns, Killswitch Engage, which was CM Punk's first walkout song when he first started fighting in the WWE. Lot less tattoos and bright yellow trunks, I do believe, when he first started.
Yeah, he used to. He's obviously been an MMA fan for a long time because he used to do the Vanderlei Silva, like a little hand gesture and give the stink eye and stuff.
Yeah.
And he, one of his moves.
Stink eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give me. I saw that on Dog the Bounty Hunter. Don't give me no stink eye, bro. But and even in his fights, one of his go to little moves was like a Muay Thai clinch and dropping the knees in and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
The go to sleep. Yeah, always loved the go to sleep.
I think they actually banned that move because I think I can't remember whose nose he broke, but he landed it. And the guy's nose was sideways. Yeah, it might have been John Cena, actually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, been one of his.
Cena's
of
had
his
plenty
last...
of good injuries. Over the years. Broken neck, good on him. Buddy.
He's the man.
He is, indeed he is. Now, normally we do give yourself an our uppercut right now of the week, but we didn't want to do Malcolm Turnbull and all the pollies again. We didn't get too political. Ben's decided we're going to do a high five of the week, which is great, but we don't have a high five sound effect.
We do, just, man.
All right,
we do.
On the count of three. You ready, boys? 1, 2, 3.
All right. Viking clap.
I was about to say, which one was it?
That is not the Viking clap. That's the tap that Ragnar used to give Lagatha when he was ready for one, I think. That's what that sounds like. Now, our high five of the week, Benny, we all bought it up.
Well, we all looked at each other when we couldn't think of an uppercut.
Mm.
And old Stevie's brought up good old Darren for a high
Senator
five.
Senator Darren Hinch, who used parliamentary privilege this week. Steve.
He did indeed, boys. Yeah, he came out and used his parliamentary privilege as part of his first speech to the Senate to out a McDonald's restaurant in Penrith who apparently has a convicted pedophile on their books.
Right, so an employee of
an employee, that's right. So names unnamed, obviously. But it's been found out, apparently, that this person has been convicted.
Yep.
He's now working at the Penrith McDonald's.
Kids everywhere.
Yeah,
and has been offering
right.
Teenagers lifts home at night and all that sort of thing.
Jesus.
And apparently it was something that was unknown, unawares. And the parents of one of the children has absolutely
lost their shit.
Is it legal for him to do what he did?
I don't think so.
I don't think Darren gives a shit.
Darren can do it in the Senate because you've got parliamentary privilege.
But before he's been in trouble before.
He's been to jail. He's been under house arrest twice for saying what he believes.
He's a human headline.
Yeah,
mate. I can say I was on Hinch when I was 4 or 5 years old for when my dad was like a computer nerd back in the 80s, and he installed the first systems in the ACT Magistrates Court where, just say if it was a sexual abuse case or something, the victim didn't have to sit in the same room as the accused, but still they still all take part in the trial at the same time, which for the 80s was pretty groundbreaking technology.
Skype.
Yeah, it was a 10-meter Skype.
10 meters.
Sitting on the other side of the world, it was 10 meters. It was a
string.
Start.
Yeah, nice.
It was a start. I met him, and he was a great bloke.
And so you ended up on Hinch because you're old man.
Yep, sure. Yeah, trying to get the video. We got the old VHS there somewhere. It's pretty cool. So
nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought that was good of him to actually make light
of
it.
Well, he said he was going to name names because he's got the ability to do it. And he was under house arrest for 6 months for naming pedophiles on his radio show before.
Yeah, and he's
And if you're convicted, the community should know.
100%.
The community should know where you are.
I think it's one of the most disgusting and heinous crimes you can do. It's just abysmal.
Yeah, and we're so light on pedophiles when it comes to sentencing in this country.
Correct.
I don't get it.
And what they're doing, what one of the big things that was part of his mandate for getting into the Senate was all about trying to get a proper register established so that, it was public knowledge and everybody knew. In America, apparently, it's well known registers.
Yeah.
You can't be within certain distances of schools of things like that, which is fantastic.
But you can't rehabilitate how someone is, and you can't take back what you've done.
Even
you can't apologize. Apology doesn't do shit.
That have been chemically castrated still have the urges.
100%. It's a mental. It's illness.
Yeah, it is. So
good on him. Good on him for doing.
So on three.
No.
1, 2, 3. Then do it. This is like Lethal Weapon.
Here we go. Yeah. Right.
So hang on. Is it on three?
Riggs. So 1, 2, 3. Then clap.
Okay. Cool.
Right. 1, 2, 3.
Nice work, Darren. All right, that is it for us. I better not steal Benny's out of here line, so I'll just say see you next week and get a big black dog up ya.
See you, folks.
There it was.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.